This morning from the book of Job, the 19th chapter of the book of Job. Hallelujah. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That's going to conclude the reading here. If you'd like to keep your Bibles open there to Job, but let me just share some things with you. There are some 3,000 people mentioned in the Bible by name. And of those 3,000, when you hear the name Job, no doubt immediately something comes to your mind. Suffering and pain and hardship and loss. And I know that we can identify with that when you're going through a hard time and there's pain and sickness in your life, trials and suffering. You can identify with Job. But I want you to notice something from the very first chapter of this book of what the Bible says about this man Job. First of all, he feared God. Let me stop right there. The wise King Solomon said it is the wise person that fears God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you reverence God, if you fear God, if you stand in awe of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. People that laugh at God and make fun of God is fool. Secondly, he says he was a perfect and an upright man. Now sometimes when people hear the word perfect, and the preacher preaching about perfection, and we read in the scriptures about perfection, some people get all out of sorts. They feel like that is an impossibility in this life. But the Bible says that Job, he was perfect and upright in his living. That means that he loved God with all of his heart. He was sanctified holy. He made a real commitment. He was dedicated to the Almighty God. That's what perfection is. Loving God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He was perfect and he was upright. And the Bible also says in the third verse, he was a wealthy man. Now listen to this. He has 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a house full of servants, a household full of servants, a great household, the Bible said. Let me say it again. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses. He was a wealthy man. And the Bible says he was the greatest man of the East. Not only because he had wealth, but because he had God. The greatest man of the East. And yet, with all of that, I want you to notice what took place. He was not exempt from trouble. He was not exempt from hardship and suffering. The Bible tells me that the Sabians came. They're from the southeastern part of Saudi Arabia. They came, and the Bible said they stole the oxen and the asses and killed all the servants. The Bible said fire swept across the area and destroyed the sheep and all the servants that were attending them. And then three bands of cattle thieves came and took the 3,000 camels and killed the servants. And on the top of all of that, all 10 of his children were in one house with the older brother, fellowshipping together, enjoying one another, and a wind came, blew the house down, and all 10 children died, all in one day. Think of it. And God said he was a perfect and upright man. Some people are teaching that if you live right and obey God, things like this won't happen. They will. But God is still God. And he still loves us. Not only that, but the Bible says his wife gave up. His wife turned her back on God. And in essence, she said, Job, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, this wouldn't happen. God isn't concerned about you. He has no compassion for you. Look what's going on. What have we lost? Why don't you just turn your back? Why don't you just curse God and die? And that wasn't the end as well. The Bible says he has some friends, and when they hear of what has taken place, then they come to visit, try to encourage him and to comfort him, and Elabaz and Bildad and Sophar and Elihu. They came to encourage and to help Job in his troubled times. And when they arrived and saw the condition, no one even spoke for 7 days. So it was such a shocking appearance, because not only had he lost his cattle, not only had his wife turned her back on God and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Not only had he lost his children, but now the Bible says he's covered from the top of his head to the feet in boils, pain, suffering, and yet he's God's child. Remember that. He's God's son. He loves God. He's perfect and upright going through all of this. And when his friends come to comfort him after 7 days, they began to speak. And rather than strengthening him and lifting him up and encouraging him and helping him along the way, they said, "Job, the reason you're going through this is sin in your life. And if you just repent of your sins, everything will be all right." Listen to what your preacher says today. A lot of good people suffer bad things. And it's not always because of sin in your life. You can love God with all of your heart and go through some difficult times. Here are these four friends have come and said, "Job, if you just repent, the reason you're going through these things is because you have refused to repent." It's quite a story. Go back to the 25th verse that I read. But Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Let me say that again. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I'm going to take that line. I'm going to take two words to begin with. I'm going to take the words, "my Redeemer." "My" speaks of personal relationship. My friend, my God, my Redeemer. "I know my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah. Let me share now from the Old Testament. Maybe this even happened after Job's time, but I don't know. But in the Old Testament, in the days of the Hebrews and the children of Israel, under the law of Moses, there was such a thing. If someone was going through a hard time, one of the children of Israel, and they've lost their home, and they've lost their livelihood, and maybe they've given themselves to servitude and to be a bond servant for someone, if they have a relative that is able, capable of purchasing their redemption, for buying back what they have lost, if they would have someone that would do that, then they would go free. And that person was called the kinsman redeemer. And I don't know whether Job had anything like that in mind or not, but he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I've got a Redeemer. He's God. He's redeemed me. I'm one of His. Hallelujah. And as your pastor this morning, I want you to know, He's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. Hallelujah. I was lost. I was bound. I had no hope. I was on my way to eternity unprepared. But my Redeemer, He paid the price. Thank God. He said, I know my Redeemer. And then I looked at that verse as I went on and found out that this man was not only confident that his God would take care and God loved him and God was concerned about him. He knew that his Redeemer would never fail him. The second thing, let me leave this with you before I go and hurry along. His friends failed him. His wife failed him. But he knew that his Redeemer would not fail him. Listen to what I tell you now. Some of people out there will fail you. There'll be some along the road that will let you down. And sometimes it will hurt you deeper than you ever thought it could. Some people will let you down, but He will never let you down. Underneath all the everlasting arms, they'll be there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They will bear you up unless you dash your foot against the stone. He'll be there. Secondly, I want to go back to the 25th verse. This time I want to put the emphasis, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." This time I want you to use the two words, "I know." I know. Now, I did not realize this until I was preparing the sermon. Maybe I'd already completed it. And the thought came to me in the last few weeks. I have preached twice on the importance of knowing. From two different scriptures altogether, two different sermons altogether, but the importance of knowing. And I can't think of anything this morning any more important than to know that you know that you know that everything's all right. I asked someone a week ago, how's it between you and the Lord? The person said, oh, everything's fine. But it was said in a frivolous manner. Listen to what, I'm not a judge, but listen to this. When you know that you know that you know, there's something about it that's wonderful. Not something that you want to turn your head away. Not something that you want to make light of. I'm glad that we can know. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm confident. I have no doubt whatsoever. Hallelujah. I made a commitment to Him, and He's made a commitment to me, and I know He's there. Hallelujah. Then I read some scripture. It's in another chapter, but I jotted it down, and I'm going to read it here. He said, behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on my right hand, and I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. Let me say it again. But He knoweth the way that I take. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer knows. I know that my friend knows. I know that He'll not fail me. I know that God is alive in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. He looked for His Redeemer behind Him and to His left and to His right. And He could not find Him. He could not see Him. But this came to His mind. He cannot see, I cannot see Him, but I know that He sees me. Let me give a testimony. I've seen the hand of God work, and I have felt the hand of God on my side. I have heard the voice of God in my heart, in my life on more than one occasion, but I've never seen the Lord with my eyes. I have never seen the Lord with my eyes in the natural sense. But Job said, although I can't see Him, I know He's watching me. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stop right there for a moment and think? His eyes are running to and fro across the width and the breadth of the land, seeking someone that He might bless. Seeking someone that He might just pour out a blessing upon. Seeking someone that He might touch their lives and encourage them and say to them, maybe the day's come by Big Bethel and down Blackberry Lane. Turned into the light, to the abundant life tabernacle. He's looking for someone to bless. He's looking for someone that He can just put His arms around and encourage and lift up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's our Redeemer. We don't see Him, but He sees us. I believe this right now. If our spiritual eyes were open, no doubt He's walking up and down the aisles. In and out of the little pews. Coming right where you are. Right close to where you are right now. Standing right there with you. Hallelujah. What a Savior, what a mighty God. Job said, I looked and I looked and I looked, but I couldn't see Him. But I knew all the time that He was seeing me. Hallelujah. I knew that He was watching me. Praise God. Glory. Glory. When you're going through a hard place, remember, He's got His eyes on you. He hasn't shut His eyes. He hasn't gone to sleep. He's not on vacation. He sees, He hears. Lift up the eyes under the hills. From whence cometh your help? Your help coming from the Lord. He's not weary. He's watching you. He's watching you. He's watching over you. He loves you. Job said, I looked and I looked and I looked. I couldn't see Him, but I knew He was watching me. That ought to encourage you this week. Whatever comes your way, the Lord's right there. He cares. With all that was going on, Job said, I know. After losing all of his wealth, after losing all 10 children in one day, after his friends had put him down, and after his wife, the one that he loved, and the one that was the mother of the 10 children, after his wife had said, why don't you just curse God and die? The one that was close to him. I can't even imagine. My wife and I talk often about our marriage and how good God has been and how close we are. And it's real. It's real. Don't ever think that when you've been married 59 years that you get further apart if you do something wrong. This is just marriage instructions. When you love each other like you ought to love, it's a closeness. And when you love God like you ought to love God, there's a closeness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Job looked for his Redeemer, but he could not find him, but he said, I know. His faith did not waver. His confidence was steadfast. He was anchored on the rock. He couldn't see the Lord, but the Lord could see him, and he knew it. He knew that the Redeemer was taking note of everything that came his way. And I thought of the Hebrew boys that Tom mentioned last Sunday night. I believe Job was in the same sort of situation. I don't know the outcome. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but one thing I know he loves me. I know he's going to take care of it. Whatever the outcome, I'm his. And it's going to all be all right. Think about it if you will. Death was all around Job. All those animals slain. Children slain. Death everywhere. And now Job's got boils and seeming as if death was imminent. Such a condition in his life. The servants were dead and his children were dead and the cattle were dead and Job is now on the verge of death and yet he doesn't waver at all. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But then there's one other thought. Now I tried to hurry along. There's one other thought in that scripture reading that I read and I'm going to read it again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin was destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold and not another. By faith, Job caught a glimpse of an event down the road. He caught a glimpse of the end time. Do you remember what I had drawn on the blackboard Wednesday night? The rapture, the tribulation period. Then the battle of Armageddon, the coming of the Lord back to earth again. Then the battle of Armageddon, then the millennial reign, then the great white throne judgment. Job, way back yonder when he lived, he caught a glimpse of the end time when the Lord comes back to the earth again. When the tribulation is over and the Lord rides out of heaven with us, coming to this earth to set up his reign to reign from the throne of David. Forever and forever with a reign of righteousness and justice and purity and holiness. Let me say this today, the reign of Jesus will be a reign of holiness. Amen. How about the Baptist folks? Every Baptist folk there will be holiness. How about the Methodists? Every Methodist folk there will be holiness. A reign of holiness when the Lord shall come. But this is the part that I want to leave with you today. Job said with all of that, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know what's going on in this world. But I've got a glimpse of something down yonder. And one of these days in my flesh shall I see God. And not another. I'm going to lay eyes on the Lord. I'm going to see the Lord for myself. I say this today as humbly as I know how. My grandfather on both sides of my father and my mother's side both Pentecostal believers. My dad and my mom were both Pentecostal believers. And they loved God with all their heart. But that's not enough for me. I'm going to see the Lord for myself. Amen, amen. Thank God for this way of holiness. Thank God for Pentecost. Amen. It's real. We've heard of somehow God's blessing and moving and working in the hearts and lives of some. God's, the Word of God is powerful. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lived, but he said this, but I know I'm going to see Him for myself. I'm going to see the Lord for myself. Can you think of this, get this in your mind, that young lady by the name of Fanny Crosby, when she was just a youth, just a little tot. Her eye, she had an eye disease, and some doctor came through that part of, that's years ago, came through her part of town and they put some kind of poultice on her eyes. He was supposed to go and try to help her out and she went totally blind. Never was able to see anymore. All those years, Fanny Crosby, eyes were blinded. Pick up your songbook one of these days when you get here early. Thumb through the hymns in the hymn book and see all the songs that Fanny Crosby wrote. Do you know what a lot of them talk about? Seeing. I've seen the beauty of the flowers. She wasn't talking about when she was just a little fellow with her eyes still able to see. She had seen the things of God that a lot of people can't see with four eyes. Amen. But this is what Fanny Crosby said, and I'm going to see him for myself. And Job said, I'm going to see him for myself. I believe my daddy and my mama, my grandparents, I believe they have seen the Lord. I believe they're in the presence of the Lord. But one of these days, I'm going to see him for myself. The trumpet's going to sound, and I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be called out, and you know who I'm going to see? I'm going to see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believed it ever since I got saved. I believed it all my life that there's coming a time when the Lord's coming. But there was a time when I was not living for the Lord. I wasn't anxious to see him then. But since I came back to God, brother, it'll be all right with me any day he comes. We shall see the King when he comes. Hallelujah. That's Brother Holloway's favorite song. We shall see the King when he comes. And when he comes, brother, we're going to see him. And Job said, I'm going to see him for myself and not another. Are you anxious for that? Are you looking forward to that time? Thank God, he has suffered the loss of all his possessions. His heart was broken over the death of his children. He was grieved concerning the actions and the advice that his wife had given him. He was disappointed with what his accusations of his friends when they came to visit him. His body was racked with pain in the midst of it all, he said, but I still have the victory. I'm going to see the Lord. Let me leave this with you and I'm going to close. If you can have the victory, going through what Job had, you've got the victory. I've known some folks that when some little something that didn't amount to a hill of beans came their way, they threw up their hands in despair. Thought, the cost is too high. The price is too much. I can't pay it. Listen, when you read the book of Job, that all he went through, he said, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. He knew the Lord, his Redeemer, was alive. He knew that the Lord was watching over him, was aware of everything that's taking place. He knew the Lord would one day come for his own, for the saints of the Almighty God. He knew the Lord was going to return to this earth one of these days and set up his reign of righteousness. And he said, whom I shall see for myself. It's like the words of that song I just mentioned. He's coming in power. All hail that blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. I'm going to close with these words. If you know him, if you know the Redeemer, it is your Redeemer. If you're saved by grace. If your sins have been covered by the blood. If you're looking forward to that day, why don't you stand up with me and let's worship him this Sunday morning and give him praise and glory in the house of God. Obey the Lord today. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Jones, I don't know much about that worshiping God. But right now, just tear the Lord out of your heart. Thank the Lord, Brother Tom. Brother Tom, lead us in prayer. Lead us in worshiping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.